Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. Your team every day without an ace pitcher. Oh, wow. Brett, where can you find you on Twitter?
Wow. They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros41 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All right, so we had a little scare today. I think there was about maybe good 30, 40 minutes where we thought that Justin Verlander was probably out for the whole season, and there's a chance he may still be out for the whole season, but that's not what Dusty Baker had to say. We'll talk about that. The Astros lost today because Zach Greinke was tired, and you have these warm bodies in the bullpen that I keep on talking about. The warm bodies don't always get people out, so you have to deal with that, and somebody made their major league, actually two people made their major league debut today. So we're going to talk about this and more on the Locked On Astros podcast. You can get Locked On Astros on podcast and app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast, Locked On Astros. Okay, so let's set the scene. I believe it was like in the seventh or eighth inning when Chandler Rome, he is a writer for the Houston Chronicle, and he tweeted out an article that basically said, per two sources who would know, Justin Verlander is out for the year with elbow issues. What did Dusty Baker say about that after the game?
So after the game, he said that he has been shut down for 2 weeks and they will reevaluate at the time. Basically, what happened was he had an MRI performed on Saturday and showed that his right forearm had a strain, and so they weren't sure where it was going. Here's the main issue I have with the Chandler Rome reporting this. It's not that he reported it, but he didn't go back and correct it. Also, there was an article attached to it. Then not only was that article posted with his name on it, then Fox Sport, ESPN, Bob Nightingale, all these major news networks were reporting that Justin Verlander was out for the season. Now, we may come to a point at some point within 2 weeks or a month where he is out for the season, but I thought it was premature. And I know if they're trusted sources, maybe those sources have been trusted in the past. And so that's not, like, I'm not as mad at him looking through some of the explanations of what happened now as I initially was. But if it's me, I'm going to take down that tweet, or I'm going to correct it and say, earlier I stated this. This was wrong information. You've got to go back and check yourself, because just like social media, it is so instant. And I made the comment to a friend earlier, texting back and forth. I said, I almost wish we didn't have social media and instant news, because in the days we didn't, we had to wait a few hours to hear what was happening. Like, I was shocked, Eric. I was like, I saw it and I was watching the game and I'm like, I haven't heard Jeff Blum say anything about it. I haven't heard Eschenfelder saying about it. Is this bull crap? Is this a fake account? So it sent the whole Astros world into a tailspin. And of course, everybody's like, the season's over. And all the opposing fans, it's karma and all this crap. And you know, it's just like at the end of the day, hopefully, like Justin Verlander said, after some rest, he'll be able to come back. But we don't know the outcome yet.
Yeah, and I know that Jeff Passan also said that forearm strain is often code for elbow problems. Hope for some healing is standard, so Justin Verlander will be shut down. But you also have to think that we had this also with Lance McCullers. They said that it was a forearm strain, and then he ended up having to have Tommy John surgery. And so this is something that could possibly, not necessarily Tommy John, but that this could be the end of the season. He is 37 years old. Even if he takes 2 weeks off, it's going to take him another 2 weeks to maybe get ramped back up to be going five innings again. So this may be the end of the season. But for him to come out and say that it absolutely was irresponsible, but same time, he had to get the sources. I don't think Chandler Rome would have come out if he didn't know for sure. He's not the type of reporter that typically reports breaking news type thing. So he had to know specifically what was said by those two sources before he could probably get that published by the Chronicle. So he had to run it by his editor or somebody and say, hey, I've got this. I could be the first to this. And he was the first to it. Nobody knew about this till after that tweet and then after the game, but it's not good. And this is what Dusty Baker had to say about this. He said he felt fine. And you see how he was throwing the ball great. It was kind of a shock to us. And it's not a pleasant situation to think about Verlander or thinking about how many young players we have in the bullpen and the organization. But we'll have to go back to the drawing board. And that's basically what the Astros are going to have to do in order to find a number one starter now. You're not going to find that down in Corpus Christi. You're not going to find that in the bullpen right now. So you have to just deal with what you got. And this is exactly what Justin Verlander had to say about the situation. The report that I'm currently missing the rest of the season is not accurate. This is a forearm strain. I'm hopeful that with some rest, it will heal and I'll be able to return soon. Thank you for all the well wishes, prayers. And that was from Justin Verlander. So yeah, this is a big deal. If he is out for a whole season, it's going to put a kink in the Astros playoff plans, but they'll probably still make it. But he's a big, big time pitcher, and it's hard to replace somebody like him.
Yeah. And not only that, at his age, he is 38. And so if he's 38 and this is happening and it's anything more than a forearm strain and it requires Tommy John surgery situation, then not only would he be out this year unless he decided to play the rest of the year and to get surgery, that means he would be out the next year. So the Astros are now on the hook. And of course, I'm sure insurance will kick in for what, $66 million for this year and next year. So there are a lot of different things to think about outside of this season. But talking about this season, Eric, I was thinking about the rotation and what does it mean for the rotation? And I was looking at it in respect of who would replace who, okay? And when you look at this rotation, the way it stands, okay, you have Justin Verlander, you have Lance McCullers, Zach Greinke, you have Josh James, and Framber Valdez, correct? Those are your five.
Yeah.
With this going away, with Verlander not being there, they're going to have to rearrange this lineup. They're going to have to rearrange the pitching where McCullers will have to lead, be the first pitcher, then Greinke, then bring in, I would say, Josh James, and then Forrest Whitley or Christian Javier.
Or Cy Snead. He could be another option.
You're right. Or Cy Snead and then Urquidy, depending on whether he comes back. But this may be the chance for Whitley to come in. This may be the chance for Christian Javier to come in. And who knows? They may not go a full six or seven innings. Maybe you pitch them, you know, four innings, five innings, and you kind of do the stopgap thing where you throw a few, you get to your closers.
Yeah, and Astros bullpen right now, it's not good. It's full of warm bodies. We got people out like Brad Peacock and then Austin Pruitt, who could have been in rotation or something like that, but he's been dealing with some injuries. Then you have Berto Osuna. He did pitch in Saturday's game. He didn't look terrible, but he wasn't going to be used in today's game. Then you have Ryan Pressly, who hasn't pitched yet. He was going to be used to close today's game if that got to that situation, but Chris Davinsky would not let that happen. And so before we get to the bullpen, let's go ahead and talk about Zach Greinke. And Zach Greinke is having to work on some stuff. So not necessarily Zach Greinke, but what can somebody do if they're not quite feeling like themselves or they have some soreness or that type of thing?
Well, if you're like Corey Kluber and you felt soreness and you got pulled out of a game in one inning, or maybe you're Zach Greinke and you're not really fully ready to go five innings, six innings, seven innings, it doesn't matter whether you're those guys, a stay-at-home parent, or spend 8 hours in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. So luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, Eric, help you regroup, recharge. And when life gets chaotic, you can go to CBD Freeze with Menthol. It's an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or squeezable, shareable tube. That's right. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has the offer for you. They want to offer our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LockedOnMLB at checkout. That's right. Once again, CBDMD.com, promo code LockedOnMLB for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD.
Well, if you're like me in the 90s, I used to collect a lot of baseball cards. Then they came up with all these different brands and different types of cards, and it kind of diluted the system. And so that's kind of what we have nowadays with the card industry. there's so many different models, so many different types of car. Like, you don't just have the Explorer, you have Explorer LE, then all the other stuff. And so it's just hard to find the part that you need for the car you have right there. So one reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can use on other things like mortgage or food. So why would you spend more at the auto store when you just go online and just get it with the click of a button, and you'll get the part you exactly need. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everyone and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving the auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Write "Locked On" in the "How did you hear about us?" box so they didn't know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Hey, Eric, real quick, I want to just go back to the starting pitcher thing, and let me just explain. I didn't have my notes in front of me. My adjustment would be McCullers, Christian Javier, then Greinke third. The reason why I put Greinke third again is you want him to have 5 days rest, then James, then if Rakitic's back, slot him in there, and then you can put either Whitley or size needs. So I just wanted to clear that up. That was my adjusted. You've got to give these guys 5 days rest, so they might have to jostle the positions of the rotation.
Yeah, with Verlander, he had the MRI on Saturday, and Dusty Baker said that they're going to shut him down for 2 weeks, and then they'll reevaluate them. So right now, then Zach Greinke pitched today, and it wasn't great. He didn't look like himself. There's a lot of people online saying that his velocity was down, and last year he averaged 89.9 mile per hour. In today's game, he was at 87.7. But keep in mind, we're talking about somebody who came late to spring training. He came a little bit later or to summer camp. He didn't really want to participate in the simulated games. He wanted to just kind of do his own thing. And he's not ready. He wasn't ready to go past four innings. And I'm a big Zach Greinke guy, and I appreciate the Astros trying to let Greinke be Greinke. But same point, this is now basically our ace. I guess Lance McCullers is our main ace. Greinke should be better than this. He should not be tiring out. And I know that during a spring training, you have 4 weeks to kind of stretch yourself out. And he said today that he got a little bit tired. And this is something that normally happens during spring training. So he's just experiencing it during the real live games. And I'm kind of worried about this. But you want to go and read some of the quotes from that he had today. I love Zach Greinke, and he's brutally honest about himself. But I still think that he probably should have put some more effort into getting ready.
No, yeah, he is definitely someone that is difficult to read. And my wife always makes a comment. She's like, there's just something different about that guy. And I've kind of talked to her about his like social anxiety disorder, stuff like that. So yeah, he's just different cookie. He doesn't go with the normal flow. And the Astros are trying to make him feel as comfortable as possible. He did say that his command wasn't great. His stuff wasn't great. His endurance wasn't good at all. After seeing today, I wouldn't expect it to be a great outing next time. Hopefully, the outing after that or the next outing after that, I would hope to be close to where I'm happy with where I'm at. Hopefully, I'll get better the next couple outings until then, but there wasn't much good stuff to say about today, pitching performance-wise. Now, this guy probably said this with a straight face. He probably said a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. He does have a very dry sense of humor, but it's a 60-game season and a sprint to the finish line. We don't have that kind of time. And when you have other clubs that are strong, that are not struggling with their pitching, and we do, that could be an issue. Let me remind you, though, Eric, they are third right now in the league in batting average. They are scoring close to the most runs if they don't have that steal today. And they have a very high-powered offense. This offense, I believe, is good enough to carry this team. And they actually kind of failed the Astros today, because although they did score 6 runs, they should have had 12 runs. They had plenty of opportunities, and there's no reason why they should have had as many strikeouts as they did today. So Zach Greinke is going to have to step up his game and pitch like he's in midseason form and not wait three more starts.
Yeah, his final line today was 3 1/3 innings pitch. He allowed 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. He didn't look confident out there, and he had a couple of the slow pitches. I believe that he had the curveball at 73 at one point, but they're basically teeing off on him in the first inning. Brian McTaggart tweeted this out earlier. Here are these exit velocities in the first inning. 101.5, 107.8, 99.1, 64.2, 106.3, 98.8. So that's a lot. And this is a guy who doesn't overpower you. He relies on command. He relies on just being able to outpitch you. And he just didn't have it today. It's fine. I'm not going to really rag on him too much. But at the same time, this guy is a veteran. And I love the way that at one time after he threw a bad slider, he said, "God dang it." And you could actually hear it. You can hear all the little grunts. And I know that Zach Greinke made a quote earlier about 2 weeks not being a big deal. I think it is a big deal. 2 weeks without Justin Verlander, that's what, at least 3 starts. That is a big deal, and it's going to put him a little bit behind. So hopefully Justin Verlander will come back this season. Hopefully Josh James won't have an early exit tomorrow because the Astros bullpen was taxed, and we had to rely on Joe Biggini. I know that I've kind of made fun of him all offseason, saying that he's a warm body, and that's kind of what he is. I know he's got his puns, his humor, whatever you want to call it, but he was not good today. In 2/3 of innings, he allowed 2 hits, 1 earned run. One of Zach Greinke's runs to score, and he just didn't look like he had any control out there. Speaking of no control, Brian Abreu, I haven't seen him struggle that much. He hit 2 batters, and he also walked 2 batters. That's crazy to even think about. Blake Taylor, he's looking like he is legit. He is the actual left-hand reliever we can actually count on. But Chris Devinsky, bruh, I love you back in 2016, 2017, 2000, whenever that was, but he's not the same guy anymore. And he looked decent on opening day, but you could tell that he's still not as strong. And Brandon Bailey made his major league debut today.
Yeah, so the bullpen, I know you say it's shaky. Joe Biagini and Chris Devinsky are shaky. Chris Devinsky, the game before, comes out in an inning, gives up a hit, and has 3 strikeouts. Then today he comes in an inning pitch. He gives up 3 hits, 3 runs, all 3 of them earned, and only 1 strikeout. So Chris Devinsky and Joe Biagini are tied for the highest ERA on the team at 13.50. Now, of all the other relievers, Eric, none of them have allowed a run, okay? Abreu, although he hit 2 batters, he didn't allow a run. He actually didn't even allow a hit. He did have 2 hit batters. He did have 2 walks, but he had a strikeout. No hits, no runs. Christian Javier, no hits, no runs. Osuna, no runs. I mean, the bullpen, I think, is fine. We still have guys like Cy Snead. Paredes made his major league debut the day before, and I thought looked really good. So if we can get guys like Paredes, if we can get guys like Bailey, if we can get guys like that to solidify their spots and get into a groove, we don't have to worry about Devinsky. I honestly, if we go back and rewind time, and when you said, are there any surprises on this roster? I don't know why I didn't say Joe Biagini. Maybe I did, but I don't even know why he's on this roster. I don't even know why he's here.
He's on the 40-man roster, and there's not that many other options, so that's why he's a warm body.
No, I get that. But like I said, I don't know why he's on this roster. He's not good. He was a part of a no-hitter last year. He's got dry humor that gets old because the same jokes over and over aren't funny. And I want the guy to be successful because he's a Houston Astro. And I want anybody that's here to do good. But we've got plenty of other arms to choose from. We really do. And if Cy Snead is so good, why in the hell are we putting Joe Biagini in there? I mean, Cy Snead has looked really good. He's looked dominant.
Cy Snead may be a starter. That's why they didn't bring him in.
You're right. You're right. And they may be holding him off. They knew about the Justin Verlander stuff before, and maybe that's why. And he probably didn't have any other things. But what's funny is, like, it's so hard this year, Eric, because I want to criticize all these moves and I want to be an armchair quarterback, but I can't treat it like a 162 game season, but everybody else around me is. So it makes me get anxious and nervous. So what are we doing? Why is Dusty Baker doing this? And why didn't he do that? Well, this is a season we have to remember. We have to dial down, go from fifth gear to first gear, right, Eric? We have to calm down, take a deep breath. And see, y'all don't know this, but off the air, Eric has to say, okay, Brett, I know you're excited about this, but this is how you got to look at it. Eric helps me see the big picture because I tend to freak out a lot. And we can't freak out on this team. They're a very good team. They're going to make the playoffs. That's not a problem. How do we get there? Who is the arm? Who are the arms that push us to that point?
Yeah, that's why I said if we're going to make any moves at the trade deadline, it's going to be to shore up the bullpen. Because without Joe Smith and we lost Will Harris and Colin McHugh this offseason. So those are some big arms that you're missing. And they didn't really go out and get anybody. They got Joe Smith, but Joe Smith is opting out or sitting out for the year. So, yeah, I'm not saying that the whole bullpen is terrible, but the guys you should be relying on, the veteran arms, are the guys who are not performing right now. And hopefully Osuna will get back into where we can use him every day. And Presley needs to be used. Maybe he should have come in the eighth inning. Who knows? But Brian Abreu did have some good stuff. He didn't have the command. He was just all over the place. He reminded me of Mitch Wild Thing Williams in old days, like hit them all, wow. Load up the bases. He's normally a good pitcher. I'm not worried about him. I think that maybe he was just nervous or just couldn't get a grip on anything. So
I would think Davinsky more looks like Wild Thing the way he falls off the mound. I think that's his biggest problem. But hey, you mentioned Will Harris. I got to get this in here. Will Harris gave up a bomb to the Yankees today. He gave a home run to Luke Voit. Yeah, that's what you get, chump. No, I'm joking. I really like Will Harris when he was here, man. We actually met him. He's a good guy. But yeah, dude, I want to talk about this offense, man. What do you think so far? I mean, I'm sitting here looking at our bats, and as a team, it doesn't look too bad. Maybe there's some spots that need to improve. What do you think?
Well, I know that somebody who's hitting like they're all of a sudden Ted Williams is Martin Maldonado. It's like all of a sudden he's just figured it all out. And he just looks confident up there. Even the other day, I remember he hit a foul ball that went all the way up into the left field upper deck. And so I think that he's seeing the ball really good right now. He's probably going to get a day off tomorrow, but we'll see. I know that they want to get Dustin Grano out there. But Maldonado is batting .455 on the year already, and he's just doing awesome. I know you had the stats there.
Yes, Martin Maldonado, we are actually giving him the Astros Player of the Week, brought to you by Locked on Astros. That's right. You get a free Locked on Astros podcast with your award. He went 5-for-11 with 6 RBIs, batting .455 with a .909 OPS. And Eric, that now, I'll be honest, that ball that he hit that they called fair, I believe it was foul, when there were two guys on base, but the way he got his hands inside and the way he pulled the ball down the third base line, he hits with confidence, like you said, and he's really got pop. I mean, when he puts the bat on the ball, he doesn't induce soft contact. The guy absolutely crushes the ball. He's a large frame catcher, and if he is working his hands the way he's been doing it, he could legitimately be leading the team in the next 2 or 3 weeks if he keeps doing what he's doing, and he's our number 9 hitter. We need that. What a gift.
Overall, the offense is not bad because in the first 2 games, they scored 7 runs, and today they scored 6 runs, so I think the offense will be fine. I'm just kind of worried about the pitching staff, and you can't go out there and outscore them every time. I know that we have some surprise people batting over .400. I believe you said it was Kyle Tucker and then Michael Brantley. And who else?
Martin Maldonado.
Yes. So we're seeing some good output from Kyle Tucker. We didn't talk about Ledmiz Diaz. He hit the IL with a groin strain. I think he said it's in between a 1 and 2. I don't know what that means in terms of pain level, but I don't want a groin strain anyway. But we saw Taylor Jones kind of make his debut today, and he looked a little bit overmatched, but I think maybe it was just nerves and stuff. But Abraham Toro, he just looks like a natural coming off the bench. He looks like a pinch hitter extreme. I think he'll get a lot more playing time eventually, but Taylor Jones, this is very important for him because Yuli Gurriel was in his last season with the Astros, and who knows who else we're going to lose to free agency. Same thing with Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker's really got to step up, and so far he's doing it. I know he's not hitting 3-for, he's not going 3-for-4 or something like that right now, but that time will come. But before we kind of end this podcast, I do want to kind of talk about the pitcher of the week. And you and I had a discussion about this before the show. And I said Lance McCullers. You said Verlander. But I think that McCullers should get the nod because of the reason that I'm kind of upset at Zach Greinke. McCullers came ready. He threw 92 pitches in his first game. We saw Zach Greinke only throw, what, 58? And how many did Verlander throw the game before? Do you remember?
He threw 73 pitches. He did get 7 strikeouts, Eric, and he did only give up the 2 solo home runs and gave up 3 hits, 6 innings pitched. So that was a good out. But I do like your pick for Lance McCullers Jr., mainly because it's his first time to pitch since 2018, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and this is something that everybody needed. He was that guy that when all the young players were coming up, he was that pitcher that everybody's like, ooh, this is going to be our future ace. And I think it was very big to have him back on the mound. We saw what he did in 2018, even when he was throwing with a torn UCL. So if for him to do that, I think it was like 24 straight curveballs or something. They keep on reminding us about that. But this guy is a legend in Houston, and it's really good to see him back on a mound. He looked a little wild, but I think we have to understand these guys have only been in spring training or summer camp for 2 weeks. So it takes time for you to get fully comfortable. And I'm not totally upset with Zach Greinke. I just think that they've given in to him so much this year already, and they need to, I don't know, push him. Don't enable him. Just push him to be a better pitcher. But overall, I'm not worried about Zach Greinke. I'm not really worried about the Astros, assuming that Justin Verlander is going to come back this year. But they are going to have to fill a hole in the rotation. I don't think it's going to be Forrest Whitley right away, but you're going to have to put him on the roster at some point because he's going to be eligible for the Rule 5 draft this year. So you're going to have to protect him. So why not add him now? Some people say, well, what about Brandon Belak? Who knows? We'll have to see who gets added to the roster with Justin Verlander going on IL for 2 weeks. But any final thoughts?
No, I just think that we as an Astros fan base need to realize that it is not the end of the world, that the sky is not falling, and that we are not in the end times. I know it's 2020, and I know a lot of crap has gone down. And like I've said before, double rods to 2020. We are over you. We can't wait for 2021 to get here. But it is okay. We've got young arms. And I think in the young arms, the reason why you can depend on them is they haven't been there. And so they have this desire to go out there and win. Sometimes a young player is naive to the pressures and expectations. Therefore, they don't have any mentally. So that will be a big thing. Watch for Paredes. Watch for Snead. Watch for Taylor. And we just want to congratulate again Brandon Bailey. He came on the show the other day. It was great to see him get on the mound. I was like, hey, we interviewed that guy. It was really cool to see him. We wish all the success in the world for all the Astros.
Yeah, he looked pretty confident out there, and I'm glad that he joined the show for a little bit. And that's all we got for tonight's Locked On Astros podcast. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be talking about Astros win and Josh James pitching 7 innings because the bullpen was a little bit taxed today. But I guess that's why you have 15 relievers on your team right now, or not 15 relievers, but 15 pitchers in general. And we'll see who gets called up. It's going to be somebody, maybe Forrest Whitley. He did show some promise. He did also show some struggles, but Brandon Belak could be another option. So we'll have to see, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Astros hopefully winning the Mariners game, and we'll talk about more. That wraps up this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of the Locked On Astros podcast. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.